All right, it's Tuesday, March 31st, 2015, and here are the stories we're covering this week. Confidential information about 31 of the world leaders were accidentally emailed to the Asian Cup organizers in Australia. AT&T, or the big brother of ISPs. Future Shop closed all its Canadian stores on Sunday to the surprise of even their staff. A brand new high-end modular gaming mouse is available for pre-order through crowdfunding, and its unique design will put it on any serious gamer's shopping list. And legacy Roku devices are about to be deprecated, and it may be time to upgrade. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Thanks, Sasha. And tonight we're talking a lot about backups. And one of the things that DreamHost provides for you is a 50 gig backup storage space on their servers for only $70 a year. You're going to get carbon neutral LAMP hosting on Linux, of course. You're going to get a free domain name registration, unlimited storage space for your website, as well as be able to host an unlimited number of websites and email accounts. Plus, they throw in that 50 gigs of personal backup storage space. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost and use the coupon code CAT5TV to sign up today. Back to the newsroom. Here's Sasha.
I'm Sasha Dermatis, and here are the top stories from the Category5.tv newsroom. The passport numbers and visa details of 31 world leaders were accidentally emailed to the organizers of the Asian Cup in Australia before the G20 summit in Brisbane in November. Those affected included U.S. President Barack Obama and German Chancellor Angela Merkel. A worker at the Australian Department of Immigration sent the list by mistake. The message included the 31 world leaders' dates of birth, but not the personal addresses and other contact details. Just visa and passport information. The breach was said to be the result of human error, with the sender forgetting to check the autofill functions in Microsoft Outlook's email service before hitting send. According to the officer, both the sender of the email and the recipient had deleted it within 10 minutes of it being sent. And the Asian Cup football tournament organizers said they did not believe the email was accessible or stored on their servers.
Oh my God.
The department decided there was no need to alert the G20 attendees, clearly indicating that they don't understand how email works. Wow, Robbie. So will you explain how email works?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. Okay, for all of you who are dealing with government personal information, secret. Here's my secret. My pen's died. Doesn't that be? There you go. So my secret. It says sec or secker. But sec, there you go. I can pass this to you, impactful. Right? There's an email. It's perfectly visible mm-hmm. to anyone who is looking for that email as it goes through the servers. Mm-hmm. It gets to you, and you might shred it or rip whatever. It up or burn yeah. it or whatever. But while it's in transit,
that's fair
it's
game.
Plain text. Do you know how the internet works? Like it's the World Wide Web. You've got a whole bunch of little nodes, and they're all connected together. And when I send an email to you, Sasha, it doesn't mm-hmm. go to you. It
no.
goes to my ISP, who might be looking. First it goes through the hotel where I'm connected to the Wi-Fi. Then it goes to the ISP. Then it goes to every little computer along the way and through all these computers to get to the recipient.
Mm-hmm.
And who's to say one of those computers isn't infected with a botnet or an email sniffer, or maybe there is actually a malicious person on the other end watching email as it passes through and watching for confidential records.
Right. Wasn't it you, Robbie, that said that sending an email is the same as sending a postcard? Was it? I feel like that's something you would say.
It sounds
so
like a really great quote, so I will accept that as my own.
Yes, I think that's true.
Really, really true. I mean, that may have been somebody in the chat room. I don't know if I've ever spoken those words, but that's a great example.
Mm-hmm.
A postcard. How do you know that it got to my postal box without someone else reading it? I guarantee you probably
yeah.
a lot of people read it if it looked interesting on the cover, right?
Absolutely.
That's email. Email is plain text. And I think, and you can read about it in my blog, baldnerd.com. I actually posted a recent article about the fact that we get deceived thinking that email is secure because we've got secure authentication to connect to our server. Or because when we bring up Gmail, it's a secure website. And so we think, oh, this is secure. Oh, nice, Gmail is secure. Well, the instant I press send, it leaves Gmail, which is a secure connection. So my connection to Gmail is secure during that transaction. But as soon as I hit send, it goes out in plain text anywhere in the world. You don't know. Nobody knows. It just tunnels its way, finally finding itself at the recipient. And it is not a transaction where it absolutely guaranteedly gets deleted from every server it goes through.
So what they're saying is because they didn't back it up, they just assume it's gone forever? Is that what happened? They deleted it within 10 minutes, gone forever.
It doesn't work that way, folks. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. All right. If you have AT&T's gigabit internet service and wonder why it seems so affordable, here's the reason. AT&T is boosting profits by rerouting all your web browsing to an in-house traffic scanning platform, analyzing your internet habits, then using the results to deliver personalized ads to the websites you visit, email to your inbox, and junk mail to your front door.
Wait, Sasha?
Yes.
Not to revert back to a previous story, but does that mean that they could also be watching email, hypothetically?
Exactly. If, let's say, the organizers of this summit had logged on to AT&T and then sent the email, right? Then they would then AT&T would have President Obama's passport number and, you know, Visa.
It's a frightening possibility.
Yeah. It's crazy. All right. In a few select areas, including Austin, Texas, and Kansas City, Missouri, places where AT&T competes against the $70 per month Google Fiber, Mabel offers its own $70 per month Gigapower Fiber to the home internet access. But signing up for the deal also opts customers into AT&T's Internet Preferences program, which gives the company permission to examine each customer's web traffic in exchange for a price that matches Google's.
Wow.
AT&T says Internet Preferences tracks the web pages you visit, the time you spend on each, the links or ads you see and follow, and the search terms you enter. This helps AT&T serve ads targeted to each user based on that person's interests. And advertisers are willing to pay more when they know their ads will be shown to the people most likely to be interested in their products. That scares me. It's just like the time you spend on each web page. So they can tell if you just accidentally click that page and then decided, oh, that's not where I wanted to be.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
And we even use analytic data to know, okay, if you click onto our website, we know if you watched 15 minutes of the show versus 45 minutes of the show. And that makes us think, okay, well, then the first 15 minutes of the show is more valuable for advertisers, for example. And so, but we do it in a non-intrusive, non-identifiable way. Like, it almost seems you're doing something. And not to point at AT&T specifically, but they're the ones in the news right now. But it's really coming down to, are you only using that data for advertising? And really, what does it come down to as far as the information that you're collecting?
Right. Oh, it's just scary to think that somebody else is watching. Like, everybody wants to maintain privacy. You're giving it up because
right.
If it seems too good to be true, cost-wise, it likely is.
And once again, it goes back to, is your internet connection really your internet connection? Who is watching? Who's intercepting the data? Who's getting access to that?
AT&T, they are. Because AT&T can see almost everything you do online, no matter what websites you visit, the company may be in even better position to serve targeted ads than Facebook or Google. While Google apparently doesn't impose anything similar to internet preferences on its fiber internet, the company's cable service is delivering targeted TV ads based on its customers' viewing history. So Google uses it in some ways as well.
Sure they do, yeah.
But wow. Oh, it just gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't like it.
I think just because you bring up Google, Google's a search engine, so I'm going to their site and I'm using their service, and there's a possibility that they're connected to other sites as well, of course. But when you're going through your internet service provider, they see everything.
Mm-hmm.
not just what I search for or what website I'm on. They see everything.
Right. Well, here's a thing. I mean, it just drives me bananas. I know everybody is watching. Not everybody, but I know that I...
Everybody, yeah.
Everybody. My ego is huge. Everybody's watching everything I do. But recently, I bought my sister a throw pillow for her bridal shower.
Okay.
So I searched a whole bunch on Amazon, picked one. Yeah. I used the affiliate links thing
Category 5.
No problem. But then later on, I was Google searching something and there was an ad with that cushion, right? On. But
nice.
Here's the thing. I mean, I know you're watching me, but don't be so obvious about it.
It makes sense though, from an advertising perspective, because if I look at something, it reminds me, it's almost become a handy thing to know that when I'm on any website, Amazon will show me the stuff that I want.
But I already bought it. That's it. Why are you?
I know.
Why are you showing
at least
me something
make
I already
bought?
Again, yeah.
I already made the purchase. Quit hounding me. I don't want another pillow.
I do want another pillow. Actually, they only had one. Okay. Yeah. U.S. consumer electronics chain Best Buy has announced that it is closing its Canadian subsidiary Future Shop and converting 65 of its 131 stores into Best Buy outlets. As a result of the move, 500 full-time jobs and 1,000 part-time jobs will go, the retailer said. Future Shop, Canada's biggest electronics brand, has been owned by Best Buy since 2001. After the changeover is completed, Best Buy will have 192 Canadian stores. Analysts say the move will rationalize Best Buy's offer in Canada and get rid of duplication. Best Buy and Future Shop outlets are often found in close proximity, they say. This is just heartbreaking for me because I have a Future Shop. I feel brand loyal to Future Shop even though they're owned by Best Buy. I don't feel as loyal to Best Buy.
Future Shop was first, and I remember growing up with it. And the news tells us that they announced that they're shutting down. They didn't really do it that way, did they?
No.
I mean, for me to show up at work and be told, sorry, no work today, we're closed, is really how it went down.
I certainly hope that all the Future Shop employees are offered positions in the new Best Buy stores, but not all of them will be converting over. I guess some will be completely closed.
True enough. I mean, the doors are closed, and really there are a lot of Future Shops right next to Best Buys.
Right.
And I think that I thought about it at the time, and I thought, okay, at least unlike Target, these people are going to get a severance, I hope, because they're not milking out the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it was, I showed up to work that day and I'm laid off. So I've got a little bit of money at least coming my way for the next few weeks. I hope that's how it went down.
But you
don't really know.
You think, I mean, here, I don't know what it's like anywhere else, but here they have like one Tim Hortons across the street from another Tim Hortons.
Yes.
And they have Starbucks across the street from there. Like they have tons of
coffee
shops.
Which is really just a very expensive Tim Hortons.
Right. Yeah. So if you have a Future Shop and a Best Buy in the same block and the parent company is Best Buy, they're still making the money off of both of those, even though people have the thought. Yeah.
That's the society that we are in. I don't want to have to go across the street.
But they're profiting off their own competition of themselves.
Right. That's
right.
What they thought.
That's what I'm saying. I'm thinking, like, if I don't want to shop at Best Buy, I'm going to go to Future Shop.
Yeah,
but
take
really,
that.
Like, Best Buy for the win on that. Now it's just going to be Best Buy everywhere. I'm going to feel like I have no choice, and then I'll shop on Amazon.
Yeah. Using our affiliate links.
Exactly.
I see where this is going. I like
it. This could be a very good thing.
Wow.
Yes.
A new style of high-end gaming mouse is about to take the world by storm. It's called the James Donkey 007 mouse, and it's made to be very customizable with magnetic parts that snap on and off so gamers can build an ergonomic mouse that suits the way they play. With an Avago A9800 chip, 8400 DPI sensor, and Omron switches tested to 20 million clicks, the 007 is in a league with the best gaming mice out there. With the new James Donkey 007, you can easily remove and replace magnetic components, such as what, Robbie?
Oh, put me on the spot.
Yeah.
Well, you think this is a neat idea, eh? So, you don't need a screwdriver to take the pieces off. You don't need to unclip things. It's superpowered magnets, right, that pull it in. So you think if you're playing a flight simulator or something, wouldn't it be cool to have like that hook feature on your pinky, right? So that as you are you know, working it if it has more of a flight simulator feel, or take that off and put on another component, or actually adapt it to, like, how many variations can you make this mouse? All the components come apart and you replace them with other pieces.
Do you have to buy all these extra pieces?
I don't know.
I would hope they would come with the mouse, but I feel like they wouldn't.
I feel like Sasha has more information for us and possibly a website link
that maybe
we can find out more information. I want to know.
I will say I love the name. With the new James Donkey.
Kind of giggle.
Yeah, exactly. With the new James Donkey 007. Oh, wait. I already said that. Sorry. Where was I? Oh, I'm all
okay.
lost
the
with the name.
It's teleprompter rewound. It's,
goodness
it's
gracious. It changes the outward appearance of the mouse, but also the electronic functionality of the switch. This unique design makes up to 54 configurations possible.
The 54.
54
wow.
configurations. The James Donkey team are making the molds now and are well on their way to raising the funds for the first production run. For a limited time, you can order the 007 for just $41, and bulk
wow.
orders are also available. That's an incredible deal. So if you get all of the pieces for $41, wowzers. Visit our short link at cat5.tv/007 to support the campaign and get your hands on this innovative high-end gaming mouse. That's good. Now, I guess my only concern would be the high-powered magnets. They wouldn't disturb or... I feel like...
Destroy your computer.
Yeah. Like, you don't want your high-powered magnets too close to your computer. Tower.
I wouldn't set it on your hard drive, but it's... Yeah, I mean, these days, things are... not as magnetically sensitive as they used to be.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy and awesome, and I want one.
I like it.
Yes. For some time now, older Roku streaming players, those made before May 2011, have not been able to benefit from the many improvements that have been made to the Roku OS. This means customers with legacy devices are not able to experience important new features that deliver the great streaming experience Roku wants for its customers. And soon, they will be cutting off development for those devices entirely. While consumers with legacy devices will continue to have access to channels that have already launched on those devices, going forward, Roku will no longer launch any new channels, update existing channels, issue firmware updates, or provide developer support for channels that run on these older devices. Since this is the case, legacy Roku devices will soon be crippled, since channel developers and content providers will have no way to make updates to their channel software. That said, due to the nature of Roku's platform, new content from channels still operating on legacy hardware will continue to be updated, such as new episodes of Category 5 TV. However, as services evolve and grow, channels may break and no longer function. Current generation Roku players and Roku TV models are not affected. If you're using a Roku manufactured before May 2011, you can visit cat5.tv/Roku to purchase a current generation system and continue to receive the best experience possible from your Roku device. The change will take effect on May 30th. Robbie, I just have to say that this upsets me.
Why?
It upsets me because I... own a purse from 10 years ago. Like,
it's
I don't
a purse.
Like,
it's a dumb purse.
Right? Like, so I don't want to buy... I'm going to buy myself a Roku. I'm excited about it. It's my birthday next month. I'm buying myself a Roku. It's 2015. Will I have to buy myself a new one in 2018? Because I don't want that.
I can't take you seriously. You just compared a Roku to a purse.
But what I'm saying is that's me and my consumer habits. I want things that I buy, that I spend a lot of money on, to last me a long time.
I know, right? Like, none of us here are Apple fan people, right?
Hello.
Oh, so you like you understand then?
I love Apple.
You bought your purse yesterday.
I actually did buy a purse yesterday.
How perfect is that? You think we planned that bit? No. Okay. Well, fact is, I mean, technology changes a lot and fast, right? Roku is a leader as far as this kind of set-top box goes. I mean, they have really been pushing the envelope to create an interface and a usability experience, a user experience that is out of this world. It's the best box that you can get for your TV because it's just so it's so easy to use. It's so easy to add channels. My kids, I come home and they're like, Dad, we got a new game on the Roku. I was like, how did you even figure that out? That's how simple it is that my 4-year-old and his 7-year-old brother are sitting there playing new things and watching new shows that they found. They found an Angry Birds TV channel and they love it. And that's the experience. It's so great. And the uniformity of all channels but YouTube are, it's so across the board that it really makes it easy to navigate because everything just feels universal. Roku has built this platform. So that said, yeah, it sucks when things become obsolete. 4 years for a device that gives you HD television through the internet connection and it only costs starting at $49. I think that's a fair deal, Sasha. I think that's a fair deal.
I'm still going to buy a Roku. I am excited to try it. I want to watch my show.
She's basically a narcissist with a beautiful purse that's 10 years old.
I spent good money on that. Actually, I didn't. It was 50% off on Boxing Day.
Oh my God. You got a deal.
Wow. So for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias, visit category5.tv newsroom. The category5.tv newsroom at newsroom.category5.tv. For the category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.